Hello, and welcome to episode 75 of the Story Hack Podcast. The Story Hack Podcast features action, adventure, and mystery stories, mostly from the public domain. Story Hack is also a print magazine which publishes new action and adventure stories in a wide variety of genres. Visit storyhack.com today for more information. Today, we will hear part 9 of Wanderers of the Wolf Moon by Nelson S. Bond.
Chapter 9. It took all of the men, working steadily from dawn to dusk every day, 2 full weeks to construct the signal. When it was done, Greg, looking down upon it from their hilltop eyrie, gazed upon it with approval and found it good. Across the mile-wide flatness of the plain they had heaped huge piles of branches, faggots, brush, forming the letters SOS. Green, they stood out boldly. Withered and faded, their brownness would be equally clear. Hannigan was pleased with his share of the work, too. "Wire," he finished, "from the bottom of the S to the cave. We just about had enough, too. Anyhow, if the ship should happen to come at night instead of in the daytime, all we got to do is push the switch and a sparkle jump in the tinder. Send the whole signal up in flame in less time than you can say integral calculus." He frowned. "If," he added, "a ship comes at all, which of course I couldn't say yes or no." "It will come," said Greg absently. He said it because it was the thing to say, as a matter of habit. He was not even thinking of his words. He was thinking, now that this project had been accomplished, of other things. Of a silo that must be built. They had 9 head of livestock now, due to Tommy O'Dowell's persistence. The beasts would have to be provided with winter quarters. 1 goat in the cave had not been so bad last month. But 9 goats, perhaps, he thought, that small cave next to ours. If we could dig into it through the west wall, make a small opening. His lack of concentration brought a false conclusion from the 3rd man in the group. Ralph Bredon stirred restively. "You should say," he insinuated, "if Malcolm wants a ship to come." The words penetrated Greg's thoughts of the future slowly. He turned a blank, questioning look on the other. "Eh? I merely said," repeated Bredon, "that one could not condemn a man in your position for showing lack of enthusiasm in a rescue party." Greg stared at him thoughtfully. "Just what do you mean by that, Bredon?" Bredon shrugged. "Isn't it fairly obvious? 2 short months ago you were a nobody, a secretary without background, position, or authority. Today you're the demigod of Titans or boss. I don't complain, I merely comment. You have everything a man could ask for: authority, security, a woman." The last jolted Malcolm out of his apathy. He took a swift step forward, gripped Bredon's lapels with a fist grown heavier, rougher. "Eber, if you mean Crystal, Bredon." Bredon stood his ground. "Let go of me, Malcolm. I'm not going to fight you again. Of course I mean Crystal. It's perfectly obvious that you and she..." "Oh, hell, man, don't be a hypocrite. After all, when people live as intimately as we do in one little cave..." Greg felt dark anger welling up within him like a gall-tinctured flood. Rage not that Bredon should say this thing, but that there should be cause for his thinking it. He choked thickly. "Damn you, Bredon. There's not a thing wrong between Crystal and me. I love her, yes, and Crystal loves me. We've only been waiting till this big job was finished." "Then if I were you," retorted Bredon wearily, "I wouldn't wait any longer. Or is it another case of the king being incapable of doing wrong? Anyhow, I think you understand what I mean now. 2 months ago, a marriage between you and Crystal Andrews would have been ridiculous. Today," he shrugged again. Greg glared at him wrathfully, impotently, for a long moment. Then he spun on his heel, led the way down the hill to the cave. Sparks scurried along behind him anxiously. "Now look, Greg, don't do nothing you might regret. Shut up, I'll handle this." At the cave, he called all the settlers before him. They came from their tasks, surprised, wondering. He wasted no time. He broached the subject boldly. "Because we 10 are marooned here on a desert satellite," he said savagely. "Without a clergyman, there is no reason we must abandon all the rights and privileges of civilized society. Human emotions have a habit of enduring. I think it is no secret that Crystal Andrews and I have fallen in love. I intend, therefore, to marry her as soon as it can be arranged." "Crystal," he turned to the girl. "Do I speak for you as well as for myself?" Girl nodded and stepped forward into the circle of his arm. "You know you do, Greg. Jay," Foster Andrews looked pleased. He said, "That's fine, son, but who's going to do the marrying?" "You are. As owner of the Carefree, you were also its commander. I think the space code would permit your acting in capacity of justice." Greg's anger melted. I'm not being very formal about this, sir. Perhaps I should ask for your permission. You have it, my boy, and now, archly, when will the HR-umph happy event take place? Greg looked at Crystal questioningly. Next week, she said. I'll have to have a little time, Greg. That's it then, said Greg. Next week, when the dark period comes. The little group broke up then. One by one, they murmured words of congratulation and approval to their leader and his bride-to-be and drifted away. Finally, Crystal went back into the cave, and Greg was left alone with Tina, who alone of all the group had so far said nothing. He went to her. You haven't told me you're happy, Tina, and slowly. Shall I say so, Greg? I want you to. Why do you act so strangely toward me, Tina? Do you dislike me? You used to. I'm happy, she cried suddenly. Now I've said it. You want me to. Are you satisfied? Why don't you let me alone, Greg? Must I like or dislike you? You have one woman, must you? She broke from his side, raced forward to the edge of the hill, stared blindly down into the plain. Greg moved after her, worried. What is it, Tina? You're not happy. Are you lonely? Why don't you get married too, Sparks or Bredon? He stopped, his gaze over her shoulder settling on something in the valley beneath. A thing incredible to behold, but that was, yes, was, Tina, he gasped. At the tone of his voice, she spun swiftly, anxiously. What is it, Greg? Look, down there, a human.
This is the end of episode 75. Thank you for listening. If you want to support the podcast, please visit storyhack.com and check out issues of the magazine or our other anthology publications. You'll be glad you did.